This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. Tonight we decided to change things up and do things a little differently. We have five different white ales to try, but we don't know which one is which. We have them all poured in glasses, and we're not going to find out until after we try it first. And we have a good variety of white ales to try, ranging from all around the world, from in this country, Juneau, Alaska, Eureka, California, and Portland, Maine. We also have one from Iceland and another from Japan. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Jeff Miller and Steve Williamson. Hey, guys.
Domo arigato.
Hello.
Small crew tonight, but definitely have some good beers to try, and all in the same style.
So let me get this right. It's a Belgian style, but we have none from Belgium. I guess it's that take on the style.
It's a take on a Belgian style, I guess you could call it. Yeah, the white ale.
Geographically very diverse.
That's right. So I'd say the first beer of the day, but I don't know what the first beer of the day is. So we're just going to try it. And
we're going to try beer number one.
Beer number one. And there's going to be some similarities in the descriptions between these beers. Obviously, they're all the same style. But because we're comparing them all side by side, you can actually make comparisons with the other ones. So this is a slightly cloudy, yellow-colored beer. And compared to the other ones, I'd say it's less hazy, less cloudy than the other white ales that we have on the show today.
I think it's considerably darker than the rest. It's, you know, not dark by any means, but it's darker than the rest. It's almost an amber color.
Yeah.
Like, if I just saw this beer in a glass, I would not think it's a white ale.
Yeah, it just, like, color-wise, it looks like a lager color. I mean, it has that little bit darker, coppery color.
Yeah, like a light, very, very light amber or copper color.
The aroma is this sweet wheat beer smell. Maybe a little bit of citrus, a touch of lemon or something, but I just get sugar is the biggest smell I get out of it.
That's definitely the first thing that stood out to me too. I took a whiff of it and it smelled sweet right away.
So I took a sip and there's like, I'm expecting a lot of these beers to have some spice, some orange peel, some coriander. You know, recently we had like the Clementine from Clown Shoes. I think, you know, we really enjoyed that one. And I think I'm expecting a lot of them to taste like that beer. And this one really doesn't.
No, it's quite sweet. Very low carbonation. There's a kind of a grassy wheat beer taste up front. And then you get this kind of slight citrus and sweetness in the aftertaste.
I think for the what it was on the nose, it was like a candy sweetness. But when I actually sip the beer, I don't get that candy sweetness. I get kind of more of a, there's more earthy quality to it than I would have expected. It's not sugary to me. It's kind of just more of a citrusy, kind of like a really sweet orange or tangerine or something like that.
Yeah, but the earthiness is there. There is this grassy kind of earthy malt characteristic to it.
Yeah. It's maltier than I expected, and it's a little sweet, but it's also a little hoppier than I expected. Like, I don't expect any of these to be very hoppy, and I get that citrus hoppiness that I was not expecting.
Anyone want to venture a guess?
I mean, I don't have a guess, but I think this is going to be different from the other ones.
Yeah, I don't think any of the other four are going to taste like this beer does, but that doesn't rule anything out to me about what beer this is.
I think this is Great White from Lost Coast.
Based on geography, and since I haven't had it for a long time, my guess would be the Itachino, the Japanese beer, but I really have no idea. Maybe after we have a couple of these, we'll have a better guess.
We haven't even told everybody the beers that we have to select from.
Maybe we should do that.
So we have the Allagash White from Portland, Maine. We have the Alaskan White from Alaskan Brewing Company, Juneau, Alaska. We have the Great White from Lost Coast Brewery in Eureka, California. We have Icelandic White Ale from Einstock Olgert in Akureyri, Iceland. And the Hitachino White Ale from Hitachino Nest Beer. It's called Kiyuchi Brewery in Japan.
Nice pronunciation on Akureyri.
Akureyri.
I can't even do it.
We had another beer from that brewery on the show, and we had a little Icelandic clip. And so we played that. We got to hear the real Icelandic pronunciation of it. And so I remembered that. And I was playing golf the next day and riding with Britton in my cart. And that was like my mantra. I'd say, Akureyri. And it would like calm me. And then I'd go up and I'd hit the ball, and it was a perfect shot every time. Okay, so...
second beer.
We're not going to reveal it?
Oh, you want to do that now? Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, let's reveal it.
Okay.
This is number two, the Alaskan White.
Yeah, Alaskan White. That surprises me.
I've had Alaskan Amber lots of times, and this reminded me a little bit of Alaskan Amber, so I'm not too surprised that that ends up being what it is.
I'm going to try to go 0 for 5 tonight.
That's going to be very difficult to do. I mean, in hindsight, it makes sense, but man, I would not have guessed Alaskan White when I first had that. But now that we know, I mean, I could see it. But that's the beauty of a blind taste test. I think the element of surprise when you reveal these beers is pretty cool. Even, you know, we drink a ton of beer, and this is so hard to do with the blind taste test.
Yep. All right, let's pause the blind taste test for just a minute. And get into the beer news of the day. All right, so the biggest beer news article isn't really craft beer related, but it sort of becomes that. And that is that nothing says America like an ice-cold can of mass-produced beer. Anheuser-Busch announced Tuesday that the company is replacing the Budweiser logo with America on its 12-ounce cans and bottles this summer.
Sounds about right.
So that kind of created an outpouring of negativity, I guess you could say, or complaints in the craft beer industry, because AB InBev, which owns Anheuser-Busch, is not even an American company. It is a multinational Belgian Brazilian company headquartered in Belgium. So, you know, it seems it's weird. I mean, obviously it's the most American of beers around the world. We are known for Budweiser. You go to other countries and they think that American beer is Budweiser. They don't even know that we have this 5,000 breweries, craft breweries, and it's exploding here in this country.
They don't even know that there's more Bud Light available than Budweiser.
It's true.
It seems a little nitpicky to me to get in a big hissy fit about that, because Budweiser is obviously American. It's completely unique in its style, using the rice in the brewing, and it's totally American.
That's true.
Doesn't it seem like it's a little over the top changing Budweiser to America
The can? But I think that they are hurting so bad from craft beers influencing their market share, that they need to do something to really fire it up again, to say why people need to drink Budweiser, because it's the American beer.
So on Wednesday afternoon, Saugatuck Brewing Company posted a picture of a new brew called Murica, M-U-R-I-C-A. The box bears the words, "Actually American," posting on its Facebook page. "Fear not, America. We're here to make beer named after America great again." So the box says, "Celebrating our freedom to taste." So
Budweiser, are they using the exact same like font? I haven't seen a photo of this.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, what's interesting is, I bet it doesn't even really matter what it says. The Budweiser label is so recognizable that it can say America, but you're not even going to notice. You're just going to see a Budweiser can.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
That's exactly right. Especially the script they use. It's so, you know, curly and whatever, it's not really going to matter. And, you know, they change their cans all the time. They put the NFL on it. They put whatever on it all the time. And you just drink a Bud Light, and that's all it is. You don't even really look at the can. You don't care. I don't care if I'm drinking out of an Oakland Raiders can, because it's just Bud Light.
No taste.
That's right. All right. Well, let's get into our second blind taste of the night. This is, I don't know what it is.
Not yet.
The rest of these look pretty similar in color, but this one is very cloudy.
Really cloudy. Yeah.
Really cloudy, very pale yellow colored. It has still has a thin white film of a head on it, even though it's been poured quite a while ago.
Surprisingly dank on the smell.
Yeah. Good. It's so dank that I get the maybe it's light struck. Like maybe this is an import. You know, it's like a clue. Mm.
It is. It's awfully dank.
It has the most head out of any of them, for sure.
And just that smell, it kind of smells like Heineken to me. Like maybe this might not be an American beer.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I mean, it smells like Hoegaarden.
The taste is more European than that last beer.
It definitely is.
It has kind of a German wheat, a German malt type of taste to it. Not a Hefeweizen, but it's like a German wheat beer, like a Hoegaarden.
Yeah, Hoegaarden, Heineken, those are both really good comparisons here.
Yeah, it smells like a Hoegaarden. This one has a lot more of the like banana and clove, orange peel type of flavors that I expect from this type of beer compared to the Alaskan white. I really enjoy this. Like first couple sips, it's a very tasty, refreshing beer.
It's less sweet than the first beer we had. It's a little more dry, more European. I like it.
A big turnoff to me with those like Hoegaarden and Heineken type of beers is they get real skunky. And a nice thing about this one is that it doesn't have that characteristic. It has the dankiness in both the smell and the taste, but it's not skunky in a way that is, you know, makes you kind of roll your nose back or anything. It's
true.
You know, the good news in this blind tasting, we don't have any Blue Moon or Shock Top. We didn't mix anything in there, right?
Nope.
Unless we snuck it in on you.
I like this beer. I can taste a little yeast, you know. This style of beer is kind of known for the obviously the white color, but the yeast, the cloudiness. Not knowing what this is, to me, this is kind of like the definition of what a white ale should be.
All right, let's go around and guess.
I think we're going to come to a consensus on this one, right?
What do you think, Steve?
Everybody think it's the Einstock?
I think it's the Einstock.
I do not. I think it's the Allagash White.
All right.
That's actually a good guess because the Allagash, we've had a few Allagashes recently. And they're usually pretty Belgian.
They are, yeah.
Belgian taste, but
yeah, I think they do a nice representation of Belgian style beers.
I think Jeff cheated.
I think it is. I think it's American, but I think it is very much Belgian style. I stand by Allagash.
Well, you're correct.
You're the winner.
Nice.
Good job, Jeff.
Nice job, Allagash. We all like that, yeah, regardless of what we thought it was.
Absolutely. Yeah, great flavor on that.
All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we have three more white ales to try in our blind taste test. And we also have comments from the Beer of the Day people. All that when we return here on the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you enjoy the Beer of the Day podcast and the Beer of the Day website, and you'd like to help us out and support us, you can do so by shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. All you have to do is go to www.beeroftheday.com. On the right-hand side, there's a little Amazon banner. You click that, you do your regular shopping, and we get a little commission based on what you spend. It doesn't cost you a single penny more, but that commission adds up and you end up helping us pay for everything we have to pay for here. That includes the web hosting, the services we use to send you the Beer of the Day every day to your email and to your cell phone by text message. The beers that we drink on this show, all the podcasting equipment, the bandwidth for everyone downloading the podcast and all the photos and everything on the website. So there's a lot of expenses. And by shopping on Amazon, you can help us. Last week, I played the clip where somebody bought a jerky treat for their dog. And it was a fat dog. It was a Hill Science diet jerky dog treat bag. I replayed that clip. And turns out this week, just 2 days ago, somebody bought that same jerky again. So we have a repeat customer, a Beer of the Day listener, coming back and buying jerky for their fat dog. They also purchased the Buy Home Source Pet Power Paw Turbo Nozzle. So not only is this dog fat, it's dirty, and they need a super-powered nozzle to be able to clean this thing. So this is quite the beast that they have. They paid $11.89 for that turbo nozzle. We made 48 cents on the deal, and we appreciate you shopping through the Beer of the Day website.
So how do you know that a listener didn't hear that last week, and then they got the idea to buy it for their dog as well?
Good point.
It could very well be the case.
You could advertise that product so well.
Free advertising for that company, yep. Courtesy of Beer of the Day.
I mean, obviously, these dog treats are taking off. They're so popular. And at only $5.24, you can't go wrong.
That's a bargain.
For a 7.1 ounce bag.
I'm just saying, we can't assume it was the same person.
We can't. We don't know who buys anything. It's completely anonymous. So when I read these things on the air about who bought what, I don't know who bought it. I just know somebody bought it.
Unless it was the miners and they tell you.
Yeah, Joel buys a lot of stuff on there. And so I can always tell what he buys. All right, well, I'm ready for the next beer. So let's get back to it. You know what this song is, Jeff?
Yes. White Rabbit.
You see, it fits...
Jefferson Airplane?
Yeah.
Genius.
It kind of fits with our White Ale show here.
Yep.
We also dropped some acid before we actually start the podcast. Yep.
Yeah, so it's going to be a pretty wild second half. All right, so next beer... This one looks darker than the previous one. Not as pale, not as light colored.
Kind of mediocre on the cloudiness level. I can see through the haze, but it's definitely cloudy.
It is not as cloudy as the previous beer, though.
Still quite a few bubbles coming up.
I mentioned during our little break there that it was my beer was a bubble fountain still. It's still bubbling up pretty good from the bottom.
Yeah, and it's been a good 20 minutes since we poured these.
You know, with all of these beers, I think the carbonation is really key. I think all of these are pretty... The first one was kind of an exception, I thought, but most of these are pretty highly carbonated because you taste it in the mouthfeel when you sip these beers.
Yeah, you do.
You do. This seems to be the most mild smell of any of the three beers we've had so far.
Yeah. Hard to get much aroma off it.
Not very much. I just get just a slight hint of that sweet Belgian yeast smell, but not much.
I get some wheat in the aroma. I mean, I would expect that with all of these, but I get a noticeable amount of wheat.
Taste is a little flat to me, too. I mean, flat might not be the right word, but just not a lot of overpowering flavors in there.
It's more reserved, yeah. I get a... It's kind of light on the wheat, I think. It's kind of a nice, it's more, I'd say, has a little more of a lager crispness than the sweet Belgian fluffiness. Like on the Belgians, they're very smooth and a little bit foamy on the mouthfeel. This is a little more crisper, like it's more of a lager than a wheat ale.
Yeah, and kind of going back to my comments on the first one, this one's a little similar in that there's not that spice. There's not the nutmeg or the coriander or the orange peel. I mean, there's a little bit, but it's very subtle. It's not overwhelming by any means.
but well balanced. I mean, it's an easy drinker. And I mean, it is. Maybe that is part of the subtlety of the flavor, that it's just, I mean, I could knock this whole cup back and be ready for the next one. It's,
and it's very drinkable, very refreshing, lighter, very light, not very heavy. This is a good hot summer day beer.
Yeah, this is smooth. I mean, the finish, there's no like lingering taste with this. It's just, it's kind of abrupt. It just ends and it's smooth and satisfying.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I know what this one is.
What do you think it is?
I think it's Great White.
You're correct.
I've had Great White lots of times.
And I don't get a chance to guess.
What do you think it is, Jeff?
Well, you just said he's correct.
You already knew. What were you going to guess? You were going to say Great White.
I was going to guess the Great White. Well, because it is the lowest alcohol. I do think this has a less of an alcohol taste than the rest.
Yeah, Great White has 4.8%, and that is the lowest of the show.
I've had this beer a lot, and I don't think I've actually ever had it out of the bottle before. So I never really realized how little of an aroma it had.
But you can't go wrong with Lost Coast. I mean, I've never had a bad beer from them.
Yeah.
This, you know, not a style I drink very often, but this is very satisfying.
Downtown Brown's probably my favorite brown.
This one I like a lot. So drinkable. I mean, for a white ale, you want it to be kind of light and refreshing, and that's exactly what this is.
By the way, before we go to the next beer, you guys have any interesting beers this week?
I had my favorite beer this week, my Macadamia Nut Porter. I think it's good every time I have it.
Who makes that?
Three Rivers, right? Three Rivers?
Is it three or six?
Six Rivers.
For your favorite beer, you should know who makes it.
Three Rivers is a stadium that I really like, so it's hard to, I get them confused.
So at the same time, we were at the same restaurant and happy hour. They had Lagunitas IPA. Now, it doesn't sound that exciting because you've had it so many times, but this was $2 Lagunitas.
Nice.
As in $5 for $10. And so I took full advantage of that deal, and that was pretty darn good. What about you, Jeff? Did you have one?
I did, and that's kind of why I brought it up. But at Founders, Mosaic Promise, have you guys had that yet?
Nope.
You know, we've done some Founders beers, and I generally like their beer, and I like Mosaic hops a lot. And I think that it just came out recently, at least in California, and I saw it a few weeks ago. I've been trying to get it. Finally, I just gave in and bought it, and I've been drinking it every day this week. It's really good, like. You know, from being from Michigan, it tastes like a West Coast IPA. It's very citrusy and hoppy, but still some kind of bready, you know, dry, malty flavors. Very well balanced. Again, I'm a sucker for Mosaic hops, but I think it's a really delicious beer. If you guys can find it, I'd highly recommend it.
Have to look for that.
I think I would actually try it.
It's kind of a light IPA. It's only like 5.5%. They just call it, I mean, I think they just call it an ale. I'd call it a pale ale, but it's kind of a light IPA. It's that IPA flavor, but on a more mild basis.
Awesome. One brewery that I've went to recently called Altamont, it's in Livermore, and they have the Hella Hoppy, it's called. They've had it on tap recently at OTP, and it's just a kicky in the teeth hops, but it's so floral and so hoppy and just such a great tasting beer. And Altamont, I mean, that's pretty much all they do is IPAs, and they are pretty top notch. So if you're ever driving through that corridor there, you know, the Altamont Pass, and you want to stop in and have a beer, definitely check them out.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week. We had a couple. Took a while for me to edit the podcast last week, so it came out just today. And we're recording this on Friday, the 13th of May. But we did have a new Beer of the Day user named Jacob Diego. And he posted about a beer called Old Saint Chango from Bear Republic Brewing Company. Now, we've been to Bear Republic, and we've never had Old Saint Chango, but we'll have to look for that. He says, this beer is a great combination of a Hef with coffee and banana bread in it. Kind of sweet, but full of flavors. So coffee beer with banana bread. That sounds pretty intriguing.
Sounds intriguing.
So it could be a strange brew. I don't know if they're going to bottle it, but that's one to look for. On Facebook, our good buddy Tim Sotek, who he basically lives his life as the beer of the day, and he drinks a beer every single day, and most of the time he posts a picture of it, and he got his hands on some Hoptimum from Sierra Nevada, probably the best high-octane double IPA for the dollar on the planet, and he might be right. That thing will kick your ass twice. Man, that is a tough one. And then on Twitter, the brewery, Tarot, said, at Beer of the Day, nice shot. That's to Jeffrey's picture of Eau de Tarte. And it was a good looking photo. Jeff takes photos of all the beers we do on this podcast and posts them up on the Beer of the Day website. And if you sign up at beeroftheday.com, we'll email you that photo or send it straight to your cell phone each day, so you can get the Beer of the Day sent right to you. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/thebeeroftheday. We posted there every day. We're on Twitter at Beer of the Day and on Instagram at Beer of the Day site.
I need more people to take photos and upload them. Need some help, everyone.
Yeah, so if you have a beer that you've had that we don't have up on the website, or it doesn't even matter, if you take a picture of your beer, you can go and upload it to the Beer of the Day site, or you can text message it straight to Beer of the Day's phone number, and it'll ask you, hey, what brewery is this? What beer is this? And you tell it, and it says, is this the brewery Eau de Tarte? Is that what you meant? And you say, yes, and then it just uploads the photo straight to the website. So that's another way to do it.
That's pretty convenient.
It is.
Sounds very easy to do.
Whoever designed that, nice job.
Well, it took me forever to code that up, and then no one uses it. Come on, people. Use it. The text message thing is very convenient and great. All right, let's get into the fourth beer.
So like I was saying, there are two beers left, and they're both the international ones. How'd that happen? We know that much. Process of elimination.
You know that.
We do. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing which one's which here.
Both are from islands.
So the fourth one, the one we're going to drink right now, is a lot more cloudy than the last one. So the last one is very clear. I can see right through it. The fourth one is maybe the cloudiest beer we've had so far. It's a very light yellow color.
It's the color of pineapple juice.
Yes. I see some small little bubbles bubbling up, and then very cloudy. I can't see anybody through the beer.
This one smells really delicious.
It smells really good, but it has actually a... when I always smell the IPAs, I always get a soapy smell out of it. And this has that kind of soapy, detergent-y smell a bit.
Yeah, but that could just be like lemon zest, which is
a detergent in a good way. Like it's a welcoming smell.
Yeah, smells good.
Very, very fresh smelling, like a spring day.
I'm pretty sure I know what this is.
My allergies are flaring up. It's so springy.
Very floral. No spiciness, but definitely some like orange peel.
Orange peel. No doubt about that. There's some spiciness too.
Yeah, I get some spiciness. Like a clove.
A little
I get
of that
some
coriander
clove, part, yeah.
Clove thing going on.
Wow, this is good.
It's really good. It's such a unique taste to it. I mean, this doesn't taste anything like the other three. There's something in there that's just, I don't know, sweet and almost like a, I don't know, I won't say like a smokiness, but it's not smoky at all. Just some underlying texture to it that is very unique.
Great mouthfeel. It's been sitting here for a half hour, and the carbonation is still really good. It just sits on the tongue, and it's just a great mouthfeel on this beer.
Dare we say cherry blossoms in here?
I think you're on the right track. What do you think? What's the IBUs on these types of beers? I mean, we know there's not a lot of hops. There's very little hops in this style of beer.
I'd say under 30 in all of them, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, I'd say I'd say more in the 15 range.
Yeah, 10 to 15. That's what I guess too. It doesn't really say on these bottles, which I wouldn't expect them to advertise. You know, usually it's only your pale ales, your IPAs, your double IPAs that advertise the IBUs, but I guess 10 to 15.
I'm surprised that very few of these even advertise the ABV on the bottle. On breweries, it normally would, but maybe when it's under 6%, they don't feel the need.
Well, these are all like summertime refreshing beers. They're all, what, 4.8 to 5.5%? I mean, compared to a lot of the beers we drink, these are pretty light.
They're all very, very tame. Drink multiple bottles of these.
Yep.
Man, this beer's good. This is a winner. I'm pretty sure I know what this is.
All right, what do you think it is?
The Hitachino.
Hitachino.
You are both correct.
I think the taste that I'm kind of trying to get to, and it's going to make it sound horrible, but it's not. It's like when you walk in the bathroom after someone sprayed like hairspray or cologne. It kind of gets that, like, it's very pungent, but it's still good, though.
I don't get that.
I don't get any cologne taste.
But I will say that this is the most expensive beer of the night. This is like $6.50 a bottle.
I had to import it from Japan. That's a premium on that.
Yep, it's a long way to travel.
And they send it to Connecticut for some reason before getting it to California.
Well, Dallas, I'm going to give you the guess on the last beer, and I hope you can get it right.
I hope so, too. Let's get to it. So this last beer is very, very clear, transparent. I still see the small little bubbly carbonation bubbling up, and there's still a thin white filmy head on the top. Good lacing on the side of the glass. It really sticks to the side of the glass, more so than the other beers we've had.
I get a good kind of citrusy, like a mild citrusy nose on there. And then even maybe like some like grape, maybe a little bit.
I get a little lemon, a little citrus, some orange peel for sure.
Getting my nose way in there, I do get some citrus, some orange, kind of like an orange Starburst.
I like that description. It's pretty good.
This is good. So do we need to guess what it is? We know what it is.
I think we can narrow it down.
This is the Einstock Olgaird Icelandic White Ale.
From?
From Einstock Olgaird in Akureyri, Iceland.
I just wanted to say Akureyri.
5.2%. Very light beer. It tastes almost exactly like it smells. I get like this very smooth orange taste.
This actually, I mean, I think the Great White's a pretty easy drinker, but this might be the easiest drinker of them all today.
It's a little sweeter than Great White, I think. It's there's a little sugar there that's prevalent. It's not as crisp as the Great White was.
I get a bit of a like medicinal taste in the finish, in a good way. Anybody else?
Maybe like a little juniper in there or something like that.
Maybe. This is good. You know, I'll be, you know, to be very honest, the first time I saw these Einstock beers, I didn't really take it seriously. Like beer from Iceland, I didn't know what to think, but I've been impressed. We've had several of them, and they're pretty high quality. Like, these are all very good beers.
Yeah, Akureyri is the largest town in northern Iceland. It's kind of up there by itself, and this is the one brewery they have there. But they've come out with some pretty good beers. I don't know how they managed to get the distribution all around the United States in every place there is, but yeah,
that is pretty amazing.
It must be in league with some big company,
big distributor. Yeah,
but their beers are good.
I like it.
Any final thoughts on it?
Pretty good. I was easy drinker, good. I mean, I'd definitely try this one again.
You know, all of these sort of, I don't think we realized it, but we've had several podcasts where we've actually had some white ales. Like, I was thinking back to like the Cigar City Florida Cracker.
Yep.
Some of these taste like that. I mentioned the Clementine earlier.
The Clementine was one of the best beers we've had on the show in quite a while. And yeah. I got a lot of positive feedback on our review on that one because other people went out and got it. So that was good.
And there were a couple that you guys had that I didn't have. When you did the show at OTP, you had Namaste from Dogfish Head.
Mm-hmm.
And we did an Oma Gang show where we had the Wit, which is, you know, it's a wit beer. It's very similar style. You know, we actually have more of these than I think we realize.
Yeah, we had that Schlafly White Ale to try at some point.
We do. Holding on to that one.
Yep. All right. Well, how about you, Jeff? How about you recap the beers we've had tonight?
Oh, I wasn't prepared, but I'll do it.
In the order we had them.
Oh, the order we had them. Okay, first one. I got to think back.
Jeff wasn't following along.
The first one we had was the Alaskan White from Juneau, Alaska. The second one was the Allagash White from Portland, Maine. Correct me if I mix up the order. The third one was the Great White Beer from Lost Coast in Eureka, California.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth one was from Japan, the Hitachino Nest White Ale. And we finished up with the Einstock Icelandic White Ale.
All right, let's spin and see who goes first. And it is Steve is going first.
I love it when I win the spin. It's going to be actually pretty tough for me to pick a winner today. They were all pretty good. Nothing really blew me away, but there was one that was the most unique I've never tasted before, and that was the Hitachino Nest. So because of that, I'm going to take that as the beer of the day. It just had such a unique flavor that none of the rest of them had. Maybe it wasn't even a wheat beer. I don't know. But the rest of them, you can tell they're all wheat. And this one had a very different taste that I really enjoyed. So Hitachino it is.
Great. I am going to take the Great White from Lost Coast.
Wow.
I didn't think going into this that would be my choice. Just in my head, when I thought of that beer before, I thought that it was going to be too sweet. It turns out it's actually a little more dry than the others, and a little less sweet than other beers in the same style. I think that's one really good advantage of doing a show like this where the beers are all very similar, because you can really get into the nuances of each one. If we were comparing this and then drinking an IPA after, we wouldn't have any basis of for comparison.
It would get washed out really quick.
It would get overwhelmed and washed out real quick. So being able to really drill into these, the subtle differences between very similar beers is a pretty good way to drink beer. I enjoyed that. So Great White is mine.
All right. Well, I'm going to pick a different one from you guys. I agree with everything you guys said. When we picked this lineup, I think we sort of put Great White in there because we're in California. It was sort of a comparison for all these other ones to a California kind of standard that we can have on a regular basis. So it's good to have a geographic variety and compare these. But I'm going to go with the Allagash White. That was my favorite. To me, that's like the truest to the style. Very Belgian in the characteristics. I agree with Steve that the Hitachino had the most unique flavor, but the most tasty and what I want in a white ale was the Allagash White. All were good, but that was the one that stood out to me.
Completely agree. That was quite a good one also.
The moral of the story is you guys are going to have to try all of them to decide your own beer of the day.
Yeah, I think this is all a matter of personal preference. I don't think you can say this is the best one we've had on the show. It really comes down to what your palate is and what kind of beer you like. You like them a little sweeter, you like them a little drier, you like them a little more orange peel, you like a little more, you know, whatever it is. So to each their own. All right, that's going to close out the White Ale Show. Hopefully everybody listening out there had as much fun as we did. Next week, there's a couple different shows we have coming up. And Jeff has a friend, Hugo, that drove from Florida to California. And on the way, he stopped at a bunch of southern breweries and picked up beers. Jeff has shipped me a box of those beers. They were supposed to arrive today. They did not. If they do arrive, then we have a southern show for you, but you'll have to stay tuned and figure that out with the rest of us. So for Jeff Miller, Steve Williamson, I'm Dallas Helliker. We'll see you next time here on the Beer of the Day podcast.